Thanks for picking up this week's podcast from Ecclesia Hattiesburg. We're glad to have you join us. I wanted to give you a heads up about this week's podcast because this is a little different. As opposed to just a normal Sunday night talk, we have invited the principal and a teacher and some other folks from Hawkins Elementary School, which is a place that we have adopted and have been serving for the last couple of years, to share a little bit about what's going on there. You're going to hear a lot about the school, a lot about the ministries we're partaking in, and the ministry of the church and why we do what we do. Hope it's informative for you. Hope you enjoy it. I do apologize that the volume is not great, so you may have to adjust your volume back and forth a couple times. But if you'd like more information or would like information on possibly giving to the ministries that we're trying to do in our city, just go to ecclesiahattiesburg.com and you can find information there. Thanks and have a great day. For those of you that may not be familiar with the history of this community, we formed, actually before we even really started meeting on Sunday nights in a house out of Oak Grove, before we even started meeting, we started serving together. There's a small group of people that decided to choose some place in town that we felt like needed some people to just come and be the body of Christ and love on that place. And that place for us was Hawkins Elementary School. We decided that for a lot of us, church experience had been such that a lot of our church experience was turned inwards. In other words, we kind of all gathered in a building and all did things together and took care of each other, but we didn't really go out into the world and really do the things that we felt called to do. And so we chose Hawkins Elementary, and that has been our focus of how we serve in this community ever since. And it's been an unbelievable experience for us. I hope we've done some good there. I know Sharon's done an unbelievable job there. I know Jennifer's doing an unbelievable job there. I know a lot of you have served there. But it has been a wonderful experience for us as well. Selfishly speaking, we have learned a lot from that community. And so that's the place that we've chosen to serve. And if you didn't get any, there's actually some of these in the back. We may want to hand some out if you didn't get any. But there's a couple different sheets that talk about Hawkins and Baby U, and which is the program that we're getting started right now with Jennifer starting to work with parents before kids even get to Hawkins. I'm just excited that tonight, as we think about this a little more and reflect on what it is that God has called us to, I hope that you will get a better image and a better picture of what it is that this community is doing. We hope that you'll think and find a way to plug in and support it in whatever way you can. And I'm just thankful for a community of people that have taken on a place like this. It's easy to talk about things like saving the world or God bless all the children of the world and all these kind of things, which are very nice sentiments, but oftentimes don't result in any practical work. And I'm proud of you guys who've shown up and worked and made a difference. So we're gonna sing a song, and then you're gonna hear gonna see a video and hear from some people that are working at Hawkins, and we're excited about tonight. So let's go ahead and sing.
I'm hungry and I miss him. one twice as likely to be in special education,
30% more likely to never go to college,
70% more likely to be arrested for a violent crime,
become a teen parent,
drop out of school, never hold a job,
spend the rest of their life in poverty.
Is that kid? He's adorable. I love him. You can go ahead and clap like I made the video, but I didn't. Go ahead and clap. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Okay, hi everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Sharon Miles, and my official title is the Community and Creative Arts Minister for Ecclesia Hattiesburg. I know, it sounds so official. It's a great title, I promise. Community and Creative Arts. And the community aspect of my job and the arts aspect, actually all of my job, takes place at Hawkins Elementary School. What we decided really 3 years ago was to, again, to pick a place to invest our resources. And up until this year, we've really been focusing on children who, when they come into Hawkins, but in September, well actually in the summer, Toby and I took a little trip to New York, to the Harlem Children's Zone. Have anybody ever heard of that? If you haven't, you should. It's amazing. And we left Harlem, and they have this program where they focus on early childhood development, because researchers have proven that those early years, it's 1 to 3, is that right, Jennifer? Birth to three, those are the critical years as far as brain development. Who knew? I didn't know that. But so Toby and I left that place going, dang, like, what are we gonna do? And honestly, we were a little overwhelmed. But sometimes it's not what are you gonna do, but who are you gonna equip to accomplish the task? And in September, the board voted to bring on Jennifer Willis as our early childhood specialist developer. Hello. And in a very few months, Jennifer has done amazing work. I mean, if I ever have a baby, I want Jennifer to be there with me. And I really think with the young moms that she's coming in contact with, they are learning that same thing. She's earning their trust. She's earning their respect. She's walking beside them in motherhood and better preparing them for when they walk into the doors of Hawkins Elementary. So Baby U is the newest program under the umbrella of Neighbors. And for a while now, we've been working on a theme song to kind of get the message out there. And this is going to be a sneak peek. Sit back. This is you, Jennifer. This is for you. All right. Oh, baby, you got what I need. Teach me my Thank you very much. Thank you. our handy-dandy newsletter that you should have gotten when you came in, and if you didn't, it'll be there when you leave. The back of that, you'll learn all about Baby You, where it came from, and also what you can do to help out with Baby You. Now let's take it to Hawkins. You know, I don't talk to the babies. I don't do baby talk. Yeah, go Hawkins. That's right, Kobe. Let's talk about Hawkins. It has been an incredible year at Hawkins Elementary. I don't think anyone understands. Just quickly, we started the year with 11 new teachers, a new principal, a new assistant principal, and if you look at the newsletter, it says, "Who are you, what do you do, and why are you here?" And that's the question that I have to answer when people are like, "Now, we don't pay you, right?" And I know. But you're here, yeah. You have your own little office, yeah. Now, who are you, what do you do, and why are you here? And so, I mean, starting the year, I mean, I have so much anxiety. I don't know, what if they hate me? And so I prayed. I did, I know, that should be a round of applause. I prayed very specifically for a few things. I prayed that the new additions to our Hawkins family would love our children, inspire us to dream, be passionate about educating our future, and they would really like me. Those are the things I pray for. That's just being honest. And the additions of Donna Scott and Brittany Cheatham has been, as our new principals, has sincerely changed the culture of our school. Everything is different. You will never have to know, but everything is different. Everything is beautiful. They love Jesus. They love our children. They love our children because they love Jesus. I mean, I don't know how it works any other way, but they see their potential and the way that they work with them is absolutely awe-inspiring every day, and I love driving to work. I love it. I mean, every day, I'm like, okay, I mean, every day, there's no other place that I would rather be than working beside those women and our wonderful staff. That was my first prayer. And then this year, in order to really, with the program, we've definitely honed in on service learning. We have lots of volunteers who come in. It's kind of crazy. The college students who come in and people who are from the church who mentor our students, it's been really wonderful. So we've definitely hit service. We definitely hit the arts. I'm a drama person. I love dance. I believe that if you can teach children to be confident about one thing, if you can help them discover one thing they're good at, it will change everything, because that's my story. It changed everything for me. I don't have to be good at math, but I need to be good at something, you know? I don't have to be the best at spelling, I need to know how to spell, but help me figure out something I'm good at, and my confidence will build, and my world will change. That's my story. You are good at math. Colby is gonna change everything with math. He is really, really, honestly very good at math. But this year, in order to kind of step up the program, we wanted to find a way to focus on academics, to help more and partnering the school with academics. So beginning of the year, we partnered with AmeriCorps, America Reads Mississippi, to bring on full-time tutors to work with our third graders, to pull them out during the school day, to tutor them in areas they need, that they may need extra help in, et cetera, et cetera. And so this year, that's been the best thing. I think it's totally revolutionized the program. But I also said another prayer. I said a prayer for our tutors. I mean, I don't know how to find anybody. I was like, "Lord, just send the right people. Just send them." And he did. I've gotten the pleasure of working beside Janae Keys and Tanisha McCarty all year, and they are phenomenal. And they are here tonight. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to bring Miss Keys up. She's our team leader. She's one of our full-time tutors at Hawkins, and she's going to give you a personal story of how bringing in the AmeriCorps tutors is sincerely change the culture at Hawkins. Come on up, Miss Keys. Let's welcome her. And her rockin' new haircut. Woo! Oops.
Good evening. as Sharon said, I am Janae Keys. I'm the team lead at Hawkins Elementary. And another thing that she said, working at Hawkins is an experience that you'll never get anywhere else. It is a wonderful place to work. We have some wonderful, wonderful staff members. Our principals that have come are awesome. We have a great team, and our children are phenomenal. No, our children are awesome. We tutor throughout the day and after school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have had the privilege, Ms. McCarty and I, of working with some third graders throughout the day that have just completely, not only I feel that we have helped them, but they have also helped us. Because as a person in the education field, we see things constantly every day. We see it repetitively over and over and over. But until you see a child's light bulb click on, you have no idea how you have affected that child and the gratitude, the immersement that it brings into your heart. My personal story starts with a student in the third grade. At the beginning of school, this little boy, and God forgive me, but I honestly couldn't stand him. I just, his behavior was just, it wasn't that I couldn't stand him, it was just his behavior. And as we worked with him, Ms. McCarty and I, more and more, we began to understand why he acted the way that he acted. And basically it had to do with the fact that he didn't know how to read. Or he could read, but he thought he could read, because he'll tell you he can read. He reads everything. And we started to work with him on a daily basis. We would pull him out during his activity, which he loved. And he got to a point with working with Ms. McCarty and doing some flashcards to where he could, where he only knew about 3 or 4 words. By the time he got to me, he knew 15 to 20 words. And then he thought that he could really do it all on his own. So he wanted to move a little bit faster, but we told him, let's continue to move at the pace that we're moving at. And from the beginning of the school year to today, this child has gone from minimal, which is the bottom, to being proficient in math, reading word problems, and answering questions. Making proficient in math means that he is at the top. There is minimal, basic, proficient, and advanced. So he was, I think, about 3 points from being advanced on his math. And so I just want to let you know that what you do here at Ecclesia, your help, we appreciate it, and it is working. Thank you very much.
I know, that's so great. Woo! Okay. And now I would like for you to hear from our phenomenal principal. She's every woman. I love her. It's amazing. If you've noticed, I've gone natural with my hair. Miss Scott is also natural, but little girls at the school are going natural too, because we want to be like her when we grow up. I'm just saying. Come on down, Miss Scott. Come on down.
Thank you. Good evening. I guess you know by now I am Donna Scott, principal at Hawkins Elementary, and my assistant principal is Ms. Brittany Cheatham. She's in the back. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to live up to all these wonderful things that I've heard about me. Just to tell you a little bit about Hawkins, you know, I could go on and on, but I'm going to make it brief. You know, I often find that I have to repent to God sometimes for the things that I take for granted, and things with, even with my own children at home. You know, we walk into our homes and we turn the light switch on and we just assume that the lights are going to come on. We're not surprised by that. At night, when we pray with our children, we don't think anything about that. When my husband and I both tell our children that we love them, we really don't think about that. When we go to Walmart or Sam's Club and we just whip out the debit card, slide it across, we don't think anything about that. When my children ask me for things. And so when I find that I have to repent is when I see others who don't have that. And to tell you a little about Hawkins, we have students who don't share those same things. But we think that everyone, because we're in our little world, we think that everyone is just like us. We have students who come to us who don't have lights. They actually don't have lights on in their homes. They're living by candlelight. We have students who don't have anyone to tell them that they love them. As a matter of fact, they're cursing them out at night. We have children who have not seen parents in a couple of days or weeks. We have children who are from home to to home, they have no stability. We have children who cannot read, as Ms. Key said. They can't do math, so how do we expect them to do well on the test when they come to us with all of the baggage that they come to us with? We have to sort through so many things before we even get to the education process. So what do you do, Ecclesia, neighbors at Hawkins? What do you do for us? How do you fit in? Well, glad you asked. Your program has been so beneficial to us. Jennifer has just come on board, so we're getting to know a little few of the things with Baby You, and we're excited about that. Miss Sharon has been an outstanding asset, and we truly love her and hope that you never take her away. Matter of fact, I think I will be over here talking to your board about that. But other volunteers, those of you, I see Mr. Ron and many others in here all the time coming in and out. As I was sitting back there, Trinity looked up, she says, "Hey Mom, there's that tutor sitting over there shaking the little thing." But you come in and you provide stability. That's one of the things that you do. The things that you say to our students, when you encourage them, when you just give them a kind word, you have no idea how far that goes with them. When you come in and you sit down with a child and you take the time out to help them with their reading, and then we can see increases in scores, not just through the America Reads program, but those of you who come in and take out the time to sit down and read with them, we've seen an increase. Now, we still have a long way to go. We're struggling. But we are struggling, but we're still moving forward. There's progress that we can see. We looked at our MAP scores, and that, I know you don't know what that is, but that's measures of academic progress. And that shows growth in reading and math. And we had tremendous growth from last year to this year in third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. That was exciting to us. I had to present at our Title I meeting just last week, and we were very excited to see that growth. We're seeing students whose lives are being changed. They're encouraged. They're excited about coming to school. Students that when we go to different things, different plays, we just assume that everyone does that. We took a group of students to see Miss Sharon, we called it on Broadway, when she was in Jackson in her play. Many of the students, that was their first time going to a place like that. So you provide some form of stability, and you never know that one encouraging word, how far it will go. I know that personally because of my childhood. One word would change your life. Just one word. So when you come into our schools, you may not think you're doing much, but trust me, just the one thing that you do can change the lives of our children at Hawkins. We really appreciate what you do. I cannot thank you enough. I honestly cannot for what you do at Hawkins Elementary. I appreciate you. I'm looking forward to the continued support and whatever we can do for you, because I believe in giving back and not just taking. But whatever we can do, we will be so happy to do so. Thank you so much.
I know, I would give her a standing O. It's so great, she's wonderful, I love her. Okay, that's pretty much it for us. We just want you guys to know, pretty much all the stuff that we're able to do is kind of ridiculous. Because we don't have these major grants, we don't have all of, you know, bukus of money coming in, and everything that we do from the support of this small group of people. Are you kidding me? That's kind of crazy. You know, where it should be scary, we don't worry about it. But I just want to take the time to sincerely say thank you for what you do, because this program has changed my walk with Christ, has changed my life forever. I mean, it will never look the same, ever, because I'm serving people every day, and people are serving me every day and loving kids. It's just a beautiful thing. So let me say thank you, because I probably won't say it again until the fall. Thank you.
I'm not going to take a lot of time tonight. Are we okay on volume? Is it too loud? Or are you guys, we good? All right. Because I'm going to start yelling soon. So I'm just kidding. As it, For those of you that are here, you know that we have spent the first 3.5 years or so of our Sunday nights walking through the book of Luke, and we are made it all the way to chapter 18. So we're not very fast. But as has happened many a time, the next set of verses could not fit better with the topic of the night and with the things we want to cover than this one. If I could pick one section, one verse out of the entire Bible to talk about tonight, it'd be the one that's the next one on the list, which makes me feel like we're actually supposed to really talk about it. And we're actually going to spend some more time on it next week, and I just want to kind of cover it a little bit. But I want you to know that what you guys are, I'm going to teach a little bit on the kind of the theology of this, then I'm going to brag on you some, and then just to give you a heads up, I'm going to kind of hit you up. So that's coming, just so you know. But, and because that doesn't usually happen here, but it's happening tonight. So just prepare yourself. Put on your big boy pants, and we're going to be okay. But I'm going to start with a little brag before I get to the big bragging on you, which is I just came back from a conference in Portland, Oregon all week, and it's a conference that is full of people that are very aggressively and progressively approaching their faith. They are people that the entire conference is built around the idea that Christians are supposed to be in this world making a difference. This world should look different because we're here, and trying to reimagine how you do faith to do that. And there's people that get up there and speak, and they have great PowerPoint presentations that come up behind them, and everyone oohs and ahs at everything that's going on. And then we take some time to sit around these tables and discuss things. And almost to a T, a couple things are very interesting to the people I end up talking to. One, I'm from Mississippi now. Oh, I just said from Mississippi. I didn't say I live in Mississippi. You guys are actually, I'm maybe officially a Mississippian now. But tell them I'm from Mississippi, and they don't really know anyone from Mississippi at the conference. I'm the only one. And then they begin to say, well, tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing, or you know, the church plant that you guys have. And I start to explain what we do, and I always talk about Hawkins first, because that's such a primary part of who we are. And I think that really establishes what we believe in a lot of ways. And it is like I am talking about space aliens. In a room of people who've spent all their time imagining these ways of being connected to the community, their mouths open up when I tell them about this small group of folks and what they're doing in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And when I say, yeah, we've got the people, and they've got offices at the school, and they'll be like, what do you mean offices at the school? I mean, like, there's a school, and there's an office at it, and they're in it. And they're like, well, so you guys have your own private school? So, no, it's a local public school. Wait a minute. So it's a local public school, and there's people. Yeah, they're there. What are they doing? And I tell them about, and the school pays it. No, the school doesn't have to pay. You know, that's part of what we're doing. What about, and it's just like people don't know what to do. They can't categorize it. And I love bragging on you guys for that reason. You guys are doing something that is unique and different, and I believe is a call from God. And if for any reason you may be still wondering a little bit, like why we do what we do, we have this great little section of verses that comes up next in Luke 18. And instead of passing out Bibles, we'll have the verse up there if you don't have a Bible. If so, you can open up to Luke 18. And this is what it says here. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Now, in defense of disciples right now, I know when we hear that, we think about, man, well, how are you going to hate kids like that? Yeah, there's a few things to understand. One, they're trying to protect Jesus' time, I think. You know, Jesus, God, there's people to heal. There's a lot to do. Jesus only had 3 years of ministry. And so in the same way that a lot of times the CEO of a corporation is not going to be, in the front greeting people or washing cars in the parking lot, I think they're just trying to protect Jesus from things they feel like are not really quite as important. I don't think they hate kids. They may have. I don't know. Peter was kind of odd-headed. He may have hated kids. I don't know. But they rebuked them. They rebuked the kids. But Jesus called the children to him. And he said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And this is kind of the key thing I want to hang on to today. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And we'll talk about that next week. Because whenever Jesus says, if you don't do this, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. This is something to think about. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And we'll spend some more time unpacking this again next week. And remember, when it says kingdom of God, this is the thing that Jesus talks about more than anything else. If you only had the teachings of Jesus, if you didn't have your church history of what you guys talked about in church or social class the whole life, if you only had that thing, you started with a clean slate, you read only the things of Jesus, the first question in your mind is, what about the
this kingdom of God is he never stops talking about it. It is the number one priority for Jesus. And remember what we've talked about before, it's a very simple way to remember. The kingdom of God is the dome over which God is king. It is any place where things are working the way God wants them to work. It is any place in our lives, in our world, in which the way God originally intended this world to be is happening. That's the kingdom of God. And he gives all kinds of parallels. The kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God like that. And a lot of times it's kind of mysterious, and we're not really sure how to pin it down, and it's kind of this weird thing. But here he gives a direct command about this kingdom. Now we're called to build. And he says, don't keep kids out. Do not hinder them from God's presence. The kingdom of God is where God lives.
And there's a command here. Again, Jesus does a lot of times people ask Jesus a direct question, and he tells a story, or he asks a question back, or he kind of does this kind of rabbinic way of teaching. Here, Jesus gives a direct command. Do not hinder a child from the kingdom of God. And let's be honest here. The truth is, in our culture, in our specific community, and in our culture at large, we have collectively placed countless obstacles in our kids' lives. We have hindered the children. Anything that keeps a child from knowing that they are truly loved, like you heard. The basis of what we believe about God is love. We are called to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to love in the way God loves, which is to lay down our lives for someone else. Love is the basis of this whole thing. And wherever there's a child that doesn't know their love, doesn't know they're loved by God or loved by us, the body of Christ, we have hindered a child from entering the kingdom. Any child that doesn't know they have value, doesn't know they have something they're good at, anytime we limit them from participating in the life God has intended for them, we are hindering a child. And Jesus has something very specific to say about it. Don't. Don't do it. And so we believe that it is our call in a very specific way to remove any barriers that this world puts up, that our society puts up between children and the God that loves them and the life that God has for them. We are commanded by Jesus. We believe that each one of us is loved unconditionally by God. There's nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less than God does right now. Whether you are the most perfect saint or you are the dirtiest sinner on the planet, God loves you unconditionally. We believe that. We believe that that love is the fuel that activates our call, our mission in this world to go be the hands and feet of Christ. We are called out into this world to build the kingdom of God, to spread the places where God is in charge, where things are working the way God wants them to work, where people treat each other the way God wants them to treat each other, where people are sharing with each other the way God intended for them to share, the kingdom of God. We believe that the kingdom of God can only be built with love that is costly and sacrificial, because that's the kind of God we serve. And this is why we have committed so much to this cause. And I want to brag on you some. Because I was thinking through this, and one of the things we talked about at a leadership meeting recently is I've done a bad job of keeping everything connected. I've done a bad job. I geek out. You know this. I geek out on the stuff that we talk about on Sunday nights. You know, we spent 2 weeks on the first two words of the Lord's Prayer. Okay, understandably, I'm a nerd. Okay, I know that. And so I get so into that sometimes that I forget to make those connections, which we should be making. That what we're doing in here makes a difference out there. It is all connected. And I realize that I haven't done a good job of continuing to constantly keep in front of you. The whole way we live out all the things we talk about in here is by what we're doing in this community. And chiefly for this community, what we've chosen is the way we work over at Hawkins. So there's a couple of slides coming up, and I'm going to have Colby go from one to the other. I want you to know what's happened in this community since 2008. And this is where I start to brag on you. And I do mean you, because we're getting ready to talk money, and you guys know how much I make, so I'm bragging on you, not me. Since 2008, total money spent on ministries of Ecclesia since 2008 is $457,217. I rounded up to the dollar. It's easier for me to do math that way. So since 2008, this community, and you got to understand, if you're looking on the room right now, this is as many people as we've ever had. I mean, this is kind of, we're at our match right now. In fact, this is like Bring a Friend Sunday. We just said attendance records. I'm going to count, and the next time I go to a conference, this is how many people I'm going to tell. That's what we do. It's a brag. And this small group of folks since 2008 has given resources. This is actually not everything we've given, because there's some that we have in the bank. We haven't spent every dollar that's come in. But what we spent was 400, we've got 487. Go back one, I'm sorry. 457. Actually, I take it back. That's how much we've received altogether, and I don't have this number on here, I'm thinking. What we've spent is $386,461, and of that $386,461, this is the money we've spent on InReach. InReach, in our budget is open for anyone to see. If you want more information on, we believe in being totally open with everything we do with our money, so there's no question about where it's going. InReach would include my salary, because I teach here on Sunday nights, and my ministry is more to people in this room. It's to, you know, paying for the taxes on things. It's for rent for the building. Colby's salary is included in that, and she kind of works with our small rooms and all that. So this is what, and since 2008, this is what we spent, which is 38% of the money we've spent has stayed in-house. Now, one of the core values we started with is, we said, we want to have a community where more money always goes out and stays in, because we believe everything we do preaches. Right? We believe the way we treat each other, the way we read it, the door preaches the God we believe in. We believe that the way we spend our money preaches the God we believe in. Right? And so we said we always want more money coming out than going in. Only 38% of the money has stayed in-house. And you're looking at the two things we own, so you can see why it hasn't been as much. And most of that is our salaries, honestly, since 2008. And then the next thing you'll see is this. Total money spent on incarnation is what we call our outreach. Money that's gone outside the wall since 2008 is $240,543. That's 62% of the money. Because the leadership team here has allocated where it goes, has gone outside the walls. Now, we've had special Christmas offerings the last 3 years to do some kind of overseas project. 2 years we've been clean water wells in Haiti. Last year we gave money to International Justice Mission. Between those 3 years, about $40,000 has gone to those out of the country things, which means that this small group of people since 2008 has invested over $200,000 in the Hawkins Ministry. You guys have poured $200,000 into our community. And the truth is, it's not real tricky. And that's kind of the funny thing to me about some of the conferences and stuff I've been to, is there's people that get up with all these 12-step plans and they spend all this time working on stuff and working out how it can happen and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, well, how did you guys do this? Well, we just spent more money on other people than ourselves. It's, it's not that hard, really. It's just, math. And the truth is, we're just getting started. Brought on Jennifer this year. She's building a ministry for the parents and the families of kids before they get to Hawkins. We're going to have to start thinking before too long. We've got big plans. You got to understand, this is not just a little thing. We've got big, long-term, 15, 20-year plans. I know that's kind of audacious, but we want to be able to walk with kids from birth all the way through high school. We want to walk all along the way and kick every barrier over we can. We do not want to hinder the kids. And the truth is, as you've already heard from the principal, some of the things that are going on and some of the lives of the kids that are there is nothing but obstacles. So we're just getting started. We've got a lot to still do. And here's where I hit you up. The truth is, we can only do it if the people in this room sacrificially give. Now, we have not, in the almost 4 years that we've been meeting, you've never heard a money sermon. You've never heard me get up and hit you up for money for our budget. We haven't started any building projects that you guys got to invest in. We haven't done any of that stuff. Because we know what a lot of people sitting in here know, which is you've been burned by that. We know that in general, a lot of times churches have not been good with the money that's been given to them. And a lot of us have sat in the pew at different points in our lives and said, you know what, I don't want to get hit up for money again. I get that. It's been 4 years and we've never done it. There is something else I know, which is that not everyone is called to give their resources here. And that's a good and beautiful thing. Some of you are involved in other ministries. Some of you are involved in working overseas with things. Some of you are doing your own ministries, and that's something you're giving all your time and energy and resources to. And God bless it. What we do is not more important than what you do. With that said, we can only continue to do the work we're going to do here if we all start kicking in. Because we are right now operating at absolute max. In fact, for the first time, we're spending a little more than we're bringing in, because we kind of upped the ante a little bit. And we're fine. We got money in the bank. It's money that was given to do this work, so it's not like it's a savings account that we're spending that we shouldn't. And if at the end of the year we end up coming out behind and we've eaten into that bank account some, we'll reevaluate and we'll do whatever we need to do. But I also know that there's a lot of you that I've talked to at different points that have said, yeah, oh man, I really wanted to give to that, or I really wanted to spend some time doing this, or I really wanted to tutor, or I really wanted to mentor, or I really wanted to do all those kind of things. And God bless all of us for wanting to do all that stuff. But wanting to do it doesn't get us very far. And what I want to encourage you to do, and to pray about and think about, is whether or not, if you have not so far been investing some of your resources into the ministries at Hawkins, I want to encourage you to pray and think about maybe doing that. And the only reason I feel comfortable standing up here and asking for that is because I feel 100% comfortable with where all the money's going. No one in this room is getting rich off you guys. We're not. I'm eating. I got a house. I'm good. All of us are making what we need to. This is not us, you know, talking about poor me at all. We're fine. We got good jobs and we love our jobs. But your leadership team has done a good job of doing of spending resources in a way that I've not known a community that spent their money in a more Christ-like way. As far as I'm concerned, it puts my personal life to shame. I've been very challenged by the way this community spends their money to try and start figuring out, think through how I spend my money personally. It hasn't totally sunk in yet, but you know, I'm in process. And so I just wanted to put it in front of you guys and remind you that what we do at Hawkins and what we're trying to accomplish at Hawkins is way more than money. It's not something we're just throwing money at. Most of our money is invested in people. It's hiring people that are going to spend and invest their lives there. It is time with a student. It is kind words. It is mentoring. It is tutoring. And if you haven't done those things, I've had my little brother for 3 years now. He moved to a different school, and I followed him over there, and it's seriously changing my life. Like I'm falling in love with that kid. And you know, and it's honestly, it keeps on taking more and more of my time, and I couldn't be happier about it. So it takes more than money, but it always takes at least some money. It costs something. Anything loving is costly, period. If it ain't costly, it's not loving. It may be something that you call love, but it's not. And so what I want to encourage you to do is seriously pray and think. And if you're not giving to anyone, anywhere, then that's something you need to really think about. Because, and we'll get into a couple passages coming up that Jesus talks on that'll help relieve us of that idea. If you want to give here, amazing. We'll do our best with it. If you want to give someplace else, that's terrific too. But let's give to this thing because it is making a difference. It matters. There's a community of people that is better off because of the time and money you've invested in the last 3 years. And so whatever that means, actually there's a bunch of you that have talked to me about we've got it set up now where you can, if you fill out a form we have out there and give us a voided check, we can do like a, hey, I just want to give $20 every month, but I keep forgetting to do it, and we'll draw it down automatically. However you want to do it, we'll work with you. And it may be $5 or it may be, you know, $5,000. Just kidding, okay, maybe. Probably not, but... Can't blame a guy for trying. Whatever it is, give. If not here, someplace. And give where it makes a little bit of a difference in your own life. Let it cost you a little something. And I promise you, you'll be glad you did it. And again, I'm just thankful for who you guys are. I have not I've been a part of church ministries before. I've been a minister for a long time now in one capacity or another. I've done a lot of leading of people. And I've never been in a community of people that led me like you guys have led me. So thank you for your commitment to this community. Thank you for your commitment to Hawkins. Thank you for your commitment to Hattiesburg. Thank you for being the people you are. And if you have not been someone that's participating in this, the door is wide open. We'd love to have you be a part of it. Something that we do each week that is important to us as a community is we take part in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is based on the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. And Jesus gathered his disciples together before he knew he was going to be crucified, before he knew he was getting ready to give his life for all of them, even the one who was getting ready to betray him. And he sat around a table with them, which is something they would have done every day. And he took very common elements, the bread and the wine, which is something they always shared. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he took the wine and he shared it and said, "This is my blood shed for you." And in that moment, he was communicating a very deep mystery to them. The deep mystery of how God's love looks. That God loves us so deeply and so intensely that it was not okay for God to stay in his sanctuary. But he moved into this world, took on flesh and blood, dwelt among us, and saved us. And so tonight we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And you're going to have other members of this community will serve you elements. In fact, why don't we go ahead and go ahead and stand. If you're serving elements, you can go ahead and come on up. And as you receive these elements from the other members of this community, be thankful for the love that God has for us. And consider carefully what it might look like for us to imitate that same kind of sacrificial love. During this final song, the communion table is open. If you want to come up, you are welcome to come up. If you don't want to, that's fine too. It's no problem. But the communion table is open. Again, if you're with us for the first time, if you want to be kept up to date with what's going on here in the community, you can just fill out an information card, give us your email address, and on that email address, we'll add you to our email list, which is how we keep everyone up to date with what's happening. And again, if you're here and you don't have another community you're connected to, please know that you're welcome here. We'd love to have you as a part of this community. And as we walk through this week, may we not just do the inner work of removing all barriers we have between ourselves and the God that loves us, but may we go out into this world and kick over all the obstacles that keep everyone else from the God who loves them. Peace be with you. Have a great week.